Thank you, Pastor Mike. Good morning, Cross Point Church. I am in the right house, am I not? Now, I notice you probably took note that my wife is not up here, our worship pastor. Nicole is home very sick today, so I know she's watching. So, honey, welcome to Cross Point Church on the on-site broadcast ministry that we are so blessed. She's joining us. She says hello. She sent me a text. I said, make sure I tell everybody she's home, but she's feeling, trusting God to feel better. So, but I tell you what, folks, isn't it a blessing that we have the giftings that we do here? Yeah, that they can just step up and do what they do. And thank you, team, and all of them, Pastor Christine, who leads with distinction, and I so appreciate all of them. It's just so refreshing that the house at Cross Point has many, many gifted people, and you are part of that. Now, I want to make a quick little commercial. Pastor Mike talked about this here a second ago. You know, if you just walked in for the first time, and you experienced the empowerment of heaven through the speaking of tongues and the interpretation, and Pastor Mike spoke to it, you know, I hear a lot today that about the speaking in tongues. And we are a church that believes this, and I want to tell you why. Because you hear some movements today, folks, that say, well, that's of the devil, right? Well, if that is true, then God would not have used that empowerment in Acts chapter 2 to start the very church of Jesus Christ globally, right? He used the outpouring of tongues in Acts chapter 2. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can go to Acts chapter 2 and see that on the day of Pentecost, he outpoured power. And they all began to speak in other tongues. They all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit empowered them to do. Now, if you would say to yourself, well, that's not for today then. That's not something that happens today. Then you would be saying that the Bible is not correct for today. When the Bible says it's good yesterday, today, and forever. It's never changing. God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is who we serve today. So the Bible applies today, church. It is today. And heaven spoke to this church this morning, as heaven frequently speaks. And I would challenge anybody to try to come up with an argument that would say different. Because the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we believe the Holy Scriptures in this church, do we not? We do. Welcome. Thank you so much. Now, we are in a season here of going through an 8-week series called Positioned for More. Now, church, God wants more for you in your life. And I so appreciate the many people who have reached out to me and the testimonies that I have heard and what God is doing in your heart, in this church, and what he's taking you from where you're at to where he wants to increase you to be, and taking your alignment and changing who you are. And that's what the series is all about. And we have so many people in the house today, and we are so blessed that we have now over 7,000 people connected to our church in the online ministry. And we're so blessed for that. The broadcast ministry that you see on the side screens here, broadcasting throughout the internet, through YouTube and Facebook, and our online campus at cpoint.church, and the podcast the church puts out, and the devotional that we put out each week based on the sermon that you're going to hear. And you can follow along in the sermon notes, which you'll see a QR code here in a second, most likely on the back screen or online. You can scan that code, and you can follow along with me today. Now, I don't always follow the notes, but at least you'll have something to study on in the days and weeks to come. How's that, right? Are you feeling empowered today, church? I just trust you are. We are positioned for more, which means when your alignment reaches God's increase or meets his increase. Now, I've never preached an 8-week series before, and we're in week 6. And I just want to say something to you folks. Thank you for coming on a Sunday morning, and thank you for the many online. It's been a blessing because it's a lot of work putting together a series for 8 weeks, and I just want to thank you. It's just been touching my heart, all the testimonies and all you people who have contacted me and saw me at church functions and whatnot and hugged on me and told me that it's being a blessing, and the people getting baptized next week are testifying to it, and it's been great. So thank you so much. And then thank you, Charles. We're going to eat this afternoon in the annual business meeting because, you know, Pentecostal churches just have to eat, right? Church, do me a favor. Each week we are reciting something that I want you to recite along with your pastor and just repeat after me. I'm not here just to hear a sermon. I'm here to encounter the truth. And when the truth speaks, I will respond. So I can experience God's blessings through God's increase. Church, give heaven some praise today. Hallelujah, right? That's what we're here to do. I want to receive heaven's increase. I want to receive heaven's empowerment. I want to be positioned differently when I leave here today than when I came in. And we're in week 6, so I decided I need to do a review, a little bit more in depth than I normally do. So let's go through a quick review. On week 1, 6 weeks ago, I preached a message called The God of Increase. God's nature is to expand. God is a God of increase, multiplication, growth, and expansion. Before God enlarges our lives outwardly, He first enlarges our capacity inwardly. He changes us inside. And that's what we started with. Week 2 was called The Pattern of Increase, development of healthy spiritual growth. Jesus modeled healthy increase through the balance, spiritual growth, and wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. That was the pattern that God used in his life. So guess what? We preached that on that Sunday because if it was good enough for Jesus to be used that way by his Father, it's certainly good enough for Crosspoint Church, right? And we talked about that. Week 3, we talked about the capacity of our increase. That's preparing us inside, expanding us inside for what God wants to do inside of our lives. God often enlarges your spiritual capacity before releasing greater responsibility. He stretches you. He changes you on the inside for what he's about to do in you. That is influence, which we're talking about today, or any kind of blessing. Increase requires preparation, stretching, and surrender. Many of you have experienced that. You have been stretched. You have been surrendering because God is now stretching and changing you for something he's going to do in you. The nature of increase, I preached on week 4, that's how the Spirit forms your life. The fruit of the Spirit is what I use, reveals the true nature of divine increase inside of you. Increase is ultimately the Christ increasing you and your formation inside. Aren't you happy you're not the same today that you were years ago? Aren't you happy you're not the same that you were yesterday? Won't you be even more excited when you leave here today and you're changed from today, this morning, than what you were when you walked in? Because that's the power of the God you serve. Now, last week on Mother's Day, Nicole preached on the environment of increase. She taught us cultivating what God wants to grow, is what she talked about. Healthy things grow in healthy environments. Spiritual increase flourishes where faith, surrender, encouragement, truth, and spiritual cultivation exists. And I thought she did a fantastic job. She spoke to me and she taught me last week. That's the first 6 weeks of where we're at today. And if you look on the screen behind me, I want to show you the flow of our series. It goes God. It started, of course, we talked about God. We talked about the patterns that God uses. You're going to learn another one today. His capacity inside, he stretches us. That's what we went into. Then the nature shows up. The Spirit forms us. And then the environment starts to change and grow. That's what we studied. Now, we moved into Wednesday night. We're doing a practical habit on Wednesday night. for your divine increase. Those practical habits position you and I for the increase that God has in store for your life. Just practical habits that we're studying on Wednesday night. The first practical habit weeks ago was prayer. How could you not talk about prayer? It's positioning ourselves before God. It creates intentional space for God's presence, His voice, and power to shape our lives. Intentional space. That means you have some work to do. Week two, Wednesday night, we talked about the habit of God's Word, aligning our lives with His truth. That increase happens when believers consistently align their thinking and their lives with Scripture. Consistently align, right? You can't consistently align if you don't know what it says. And we studied that on that night. On week three, we talked about the habit of hunger, developing a continued desire for God. Hungry for spiritual things. Spiritual hunger positions believers for a deeper growth in intimacy and spiritual formation with heaven. And we gave you the appetite of audit, the audit appetite form, and I'm going to talk about those here in a second, to help us focus in on what we're feeding in our lives today. We moved last week to the habit of agreement. Why? Because where there's agreement, there is power. This church is healthy and in agreement. Now, I didn't say we always agree with each other, but we certainly know how to disagree with honor, right? And we do it the right way. And you'll maybe see a disagreement in a business meeting, but they know how to do it biblically. And you walked into a healthy church today. Where there's that agreement, there is power. Spiritual alignment with God and within ourselves and with others creates this atmosphere where a divine increase can flourish. God can trust you. God can trust you. Now, coming this Wednesday, and I challenge you to show up, is the habit of expectation. The habit of expectation, living with faith-filled anticipation. Expectation prepares the heart for what God desires to do in us and then through us. I expect God to do something. I expect heaven to show up. And if you live in a habit of expectation, God honors that and God shows up. Right? He does. The following week, we'll end on the habit of availability. Living, willing, and open and usable by God. If you're expecting God to do something and He shows up with the availability to do it and you're available to receive it, something supernatural happens. And I want that for you. It's happened to Nicole and I many times. We are available. We are available. God often uses available people more than gifted people. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. Divine increase flows through the obedient, surrendered life. Many times I've come across people, and even in my own life, that have been used differently just because they were available for it. Don't ever say to heaven, I'll do something, but it will be just this. And I'm going to challenge you on that Wednesday night to be available. You want to be available and show up. Because something's going to happen that Wednesday night, and you want to be here and available for it. That's the expectation I'm laying in front of you. So on Wednesday night, the flow of that practical divine increase has been prayer, the Word, our hunger, our agreement, an expectation, and then availability. And each week I give you this handout to give you the practical tool you need for an increase from heaven. Now, this past week, it was a little bit longer. I got a little wordy, right? But thank you, Pastor Christine. She puts it inside the Church Center app under the word devotional. Now, if you go to the Church Center app, our church app, if you go to Church Center app and you download that, you'll see it there. It says devotion. That's the weekly devotion that we put out based on today's message, Monday through Friday. And right there at the top, it says Habits of Divine Increase. And you click on that and you'll have each week's practical form to study with. And that's what we give you. Okay, so church, are you ready for week six? Week six is shifting us from the inside to the outside. And the title is Influence for Increase. Everybody sitting here today and watching and listening online and throughout the week has this powerful increase that God has blessed you with, and it's called influence. You have it, whether you ask for it or not, you have it. Now, what you're going to learn today is, what do we do with the influence that God has given us? You have it today. Pastor, I have no influence. You absolutely have influence, and you're going to find out it's more than you probably ever realized today, church. The influence of your increase, how divine increase expands your influence of Christ through your life to many others. Here we go. The goal of divine increase is not self-exaltation. God's not going to increase you just for you. So you can say, look what I got. That's not what it's for. It's the visible expansion of Christ's influence through transformed people. God increases us so the life of Christ becomes increasingly visible through you. You have a tremendous responsibility. God has entrusted you with influence. And the more he can trust you, the more he will give you. The more he can trust you, the more he will give you. Okay? We've been in Galatians using the Apostle Paul's writing to the Galatian church in modern day Turkey. Now, if you remember, he's set up and preached Jesus and grace, and the old law is gone, and Jesus is here, and it's different. It's different. You don't have to do a lot of that stuff that you used to do. Jesus is grace. But the people were getting pulled back. Now, I've given you the overview in the background many times. The people were being pulled back, and the infighting, and the false teachers and preachers would show up, and they would say things like, you need Jesus? Okay, but you still need a bunch of this old stuff too. And you got to mix it all together, or you just need to go back to the old stuff and forget about this Jesus. Or whatever they were teaching, that's the kind of thing. And the people were feeling very overwhelmed and very pressured, and there was a lot of angst. And Paul says, listen, and he starts writing back to them to calm them and say, listen, here's what you need to do. So he says in Galatians 4:9, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again. He's been through this before, church, okay? He says, until Christ is formed in you. I'm going to labor as your pastor until Christ is formed in you and gives you that increase. And then I'm going to walk alongside of you and support you and love on you and just be there for you, right? Lots of feelings. Now, Paul is making a transition here because Paul is a spiritual father. Scripture teaches us, right? He's a spiritual father. But all of a sudden in this scripture, he's making a shift. He's making a shift to the cultivating mother, which Nicole preached about last week. And here it is. He's making the shift. And he's using this analogy here. I labor in birth again. He's been there before. This is one of the deepest theological overviews of increase in the New Testament. Right in this small little scripture, and I'm going to teach it to you this morning. He says, I labor in birth, my little children. I am continuing to do this process. I've taught you that, this process. And then he throws in this deep theological word called until. Until what? Until there's a spiritual transformation for them to live a better way and a better life. the mission of this church, to live a better way, a better life. It's there. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to spoon feed you. I'm going to do everything I could possibly do. I'm going to birth, and it's going to be hard. We're going to do this together no longer how it takes. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to do it until there's a transformation. Transformation for what? A change in your life. A change. And then Christ is going to be formed in you, increased in you. Now, the transformation and the forming are different. They're both increases, both powerful spiritual increases, but different. And this is a biblical principle. This is deep theological teaching, if I could say it like that, but we're going to keep it as much on the surface on a Sunday morning as I can. But he is saying here, I understand transformation is instantaneous. But he also goes and says, formed Christ within you, which means I also understand at the same time that the forming is progressive. And it's going to take some time. It won't be instantaneous. The increase will take time in your life. The transformation will be quick. You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, transform by the power of heaven. But now Christ is going to be formed inside of you. We've been forming Christ inside of you for the first 5 weeks. Did you catch that? That's what we've been doing. Christ is enlarging your capacity, showing you patterns in God's word. Paul knew people were saved immediately, but formed progressively or over time. And the Greek word formed there means shaping and developing. I'm being shaped and developed still to this day. You are being shaped and developed to this very day. It's an internal transformation, but the internal transformation, as we shift today, produces an outside external influence. That's what he's teaching, folks. And that principle is called the principle of evidence of presence. Evidence of presence shows up. There's evidence of presence in my life because I have influence of what God's formed on the inside of me. It's now coming out. It's coming out. I've got influence. You have influence. Let me give you a story here this morning. I read this story, and let me pause and give you the story. So I'm reading this past week, and I come across a story of a hospice nurse. And I can't say that it was a story that I would read, but it kind of, based on what I'm preaching today, I thought, oh, I'm going to read that. So I start reading, and it really caught my attention. And there's this hospice nurse that worked in this hospital. It's a clinic that is a hospice clinic, and you all know what hospice does. Palliative care, end-of-life care, comfort care. A lot of anxiety and hurt in the rooms of that hospital. People are dying. People are dying. But there is this nurse who was a believer, and she didn't go in each room preaching a message like I do on Sunday mornings, and Pastor Mike and our other pastors do frequently. She wasn't doing that. She was just showing up and going into each room. And over time, as the story went, the doctors and co-workers and people in this clinic, this hospice hospital, began to notice that she would come into the room, not say anything, not preach Jesus, just show up, and the atmosphere of the room would change. Her presence showed up in the room. Her influence walked in the room. And the doctors started to make comments like, who is this nurse that when I'm in the room and she walks in the room, the atmosphere shifts? What is it? So the questions started to arise inside the hospital, and people started to talk. See, she carried peace into chaos. She carried peace into anxiety. She carried peace into anguish. She carried peace into death. She didn't preach about it. She just walked in the room. And so the co-workers went up to her and started saying, "What is different about you?" And the physicians would walk up to her in the story, and "What is it about you that when you show up, people settle down?" It's because the influence of Christ within her, the formation, had now become visible externally and out of her. It's why. She walked in with a letter without saying a word. She had a letter that she was delivering that people could read. Not a physical letter at first, right? But a letter. She didn't have to say anything because the evidence of presence showed up in influence. That's what you have today, church. You have that. And she would show up with this letter, the story of her life, like in a letter. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:2. Paul, "You are the epistle," that's the letter, "written in our hearts, known and read by men." Scripture, men being all people. See, the thought says the greatest influence of a transformed, increased life is not what it says first. It's what people experience when they encounter it. When they encounter you and I, you don't have to say anything, but the presence of Jesus through you is your influence. See, we think we got to go in the room and start preaching. The preacher comes into the hospital room and has got to start preaching and talking. No, she just showed up. The nurse just walked into the room and the calmness shows up. Peace. It's your influence, and it shows up before you even open up your mouth. Your influence shows up. Let's jump back to Galatians 4:19. It says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." See, that formation, church, is not measured in activity. It's not measured in attendance at church on a Sunday or Wednesday. It's not measured by the platform that God gave us. It's not measured by our possessions. Thank you, Lord. It's not measured by those types of things. Because we see that a lot. Paul's saying, listen, you want the evidence of the presence for your influence. Because lots of people today have all those things, church. They have all these platforms. They have all these possessions. They have all this activity. But they are still spiritually mature on the inside. There's been no change, no formation. It's an external thing, but not an internal first. What did I teach you for weeks? It's an internal thing first before it could come outside of you. But some people don't follow that pattern that I taught you from heaven. They don't follow that pattern of development and growth and increase. They jump right to, I want to be seen and be seen. I got to be, and you just look on your social media and you'll see it all the time. I got 10,000 followers, right? You know, we are gauging people by the followers they have on social media. We give them importance and influence because now they can say the comment of so many people follow me. Just because so many people follow you doesn't mean you're worth following. And there's many people worth following and there's many not worth following. Do we know the difference? Because those people are influencing our lives. Do we know the difference? Do we care? Or do we just look at the followers and think they must have something important to say for me because there's so many other people? The enemy, to your very soul, has a lot of followers today. Lots of followers. Are you going to follow him? Right? Church, Paul's teaching us. The transformation takes place first. The formation then takes place next. Then the influence shows up. right? The highest form of increase, the Bible teaches us, is Christ-likeness. That's where Paul is settling in, right? And the process he teaches, and I've been teaching you, the process is Christ forms inside of you first. Your peace goes up. Your wisdom increases. Your humility increases, I pray. Grace increases inside of us. We get the spiritual stability inside of us, and that starts to increase. You know who you are in Jesus, right? That's what that means. You know. And as that increases inside of your life, that's the spiritual formation he's talking about. As that increases, it starts to develop some things inside of you. It starts to develop you a mind of Christ. How did Jesus act and think? It starts to develop the nature of Christ inside of you. It starts to increase your heart for Christ inside of you. It starts to give you the character of Christ inside of you. And then it starts to spill out over you. Why? Because you can't contain it anymore. There lies the influence he's talking about and trying to get us to. Wow. My mom used to tell me something when I was growing up, garbage in, garbage out, right? Son, if you put that garbage in your life that the world puts in there, it's going to come out and overflow in your life. You put Jesus inside of there, and it's going to overflow, and you're going to have influence. Thank you, Mother, today. Thank you. Paul's teaching us that, right? And that influence affects others, reaches others. So here's where your divine influence becomes visible. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3:2. Watch. This is divine influence being influential through you. You are our epistle. That's the letter. Written in the hearts known and read by all men. Now, back in ancient times, if there was a teacher, the teacher would be carrying papers. I'm going to call them credibility papers because that's what they were. So they're carrying credentials. Like, our pastors here are credentialed pastors. We're vetted, right? Pastor Christine, Pastor Mike, myself, we're all vetted, right? The parent organization vetted us. We have what's called credentials. We all carry it in our back pocket or in our purse. It's a little card. Back then, it was kind of the same thing, but it was a paper. It's like a letter. It's epistle. It's a letter. Right? And it really says this person is credible to be listened to, is what it meant. So they would say, here, I'm a teacher. I'll give you my credential. Okay? Pastor, I don't carry that credential. Well, you don't need to. Right? You don't need to. Because the evidence of divine increase is your visible presence, your visible influence through his presence. That's your credential. That's what Paul is teaching us. He's teaching us that. You have the letter already, and it is your influence. And your influence comes from what? You have it. What are you drawing from to use it? Right? Apostle Paul continues in 2 Corinthians 3:3. He says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, preaching to the church in Corinth, written not in ink. Church, this is you right here. Not written in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That's your influence. And he's teaching that. And I'm teaching you today. That's what he's saying. And that's the influence that you have. It's not by a letter. You don't need a credential. You don't need to go to seminary. You don't need to do, unless God's calling you to do that, to be a preacher, a teacher, a missionary. You can do that. However, you start with this. Before any of us on staff got credentialed with the Assemblies of God, ordination or license or certified, any of the levels of credentialing, we had to go through the process to prove that we had this influence already. We had to prove it, but show it. And the higher you went up, you had to show that you are doing what the scripture and the apostle Paul taught to reach those levels. The assemblies just walked with us to say, we believe and see that in your life. The comet was known and read by all men. What's he talking about, Pastor? He's talking about your attitude. He's talking about your responses to people when they talk to you. He's talking about your integrity. It's the one I love. He's talking about your speech. Are you peaceful? Are you humble? Are you consistent in your message? So they all know. All the men know. Men meaning all people in God's word. And do they know? This is who you are. Let's jump to Acts 4:13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Now see, church, let's stop. That's what you want, right? I mean, right? You don't have a credential maybe with as a pastor or preacher, but you're a Peter, right? You may be untrained. You don't have seminary, but you have the influence, which is far more important, church. And they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. That is you. See, the nurse walked into the room, and she didn't say anything, but the letter that went to the hearts of the men and women and the people in the room was the fact that she had been with Jesus. That was the influence that she had. Peter, John, all the others, they had no formal education. They didn't have any seminary. They didn't need it. The greatest teacher that ever walked the face of the earth in the whole universe was their teacher. And they had evidence of his presence in their lives, right? And people recognize that. The influence that they have and you have was evident by the influence that they have been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. See, people should encounter Christ when they encounter your influence. And the first influence is you just walking in the room, just like the nurse. Comes Pastor Mike, comes Pastor Christine, comes Pastor Brad, comes Pastor Amber, comes Pastor Nicole, they're walking in the room. Should know that. We shouldn't have to. Same with you. You have influence, church. And it's powerful. It's powerful. That divine influence now impacts the environments that you live in. Your influence is in every environment, every home, every marriage, every workplace, every conversation that we have, everything. So what should it look like? Philippians 2:15-16, it should look like living clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Church, stop. We live in a world full of crooked and perverse people. And I can tell you, you see it every day on the news. In politics and everything, crooked and perverse. And I tell you what, one side of the aisle will tell you the other side is more crooked and perverse. And that side of the aisle will tell you that the other side of the aisle is more crooked and perverse. I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, they're all crooked and perverse. Let that not be you and I. Let us have the influence of bright lights, the presence of Jesus. And when we walk in the room, nobody can say that we are that side or this side. They will say, wow, here comes Pastor. Here comes so-and-so. Let that be what they say. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud. Paul, that I didn't run the race in vain. You're not running the race in vain. And that your work, my work, will not be useless. Everybody you talked to and everybody that came in contact with you and everybody that you had influence over you increases because you increase in the right things and not the wrong things. And your influence was divine presence because you've been with Jesus. And you're going to see as we come to the end of the road, church, that that's going to be the only thing that mattered. Not how many followers you had on social media. The influence that you have. Church, divine increase was never meant to terminate in us. It was meant to influence through us. Everything that God has formed in your life to this day, today, was for a purpose. First for you, the transformation that took place in your life. Now the mandate of the formation to take that inside of you and deliver it influentially to somebody else. That is the word. That is the increase. That is the spiritual formation. Church, the world doesn't need more angry Christians. The church does not need, the world does not need more religious performers. The world needs peace, visible peace, and wisdom and holiness. The world needs visible Christ-likeness from all of us, right? See, the world's just overwhelmed. More than ever today, church, overwhelmed. They're outraged. They're confused. They're unstable. There's a bunch of noise. There's a bunch of performance. It's like a circus. But see, you hold the key. That word influence, God's taken you from where you're at to where you are today. And you have a key to walk into that room, into that environment, and change those lives that you encounter. Before you say a word, you're the change agent that heaven is sending into the room. Calm, peace, settle the anxiety down. Those people are desperate today for that peace that you carry. Those people are desperate for the stability that you have in your hip pocket. The truth that you hold and the grace that you carry. Pastor, you don't know my story. I know your story. It's my story. I once was a sinner, but now I'm not. I once was lost, but no more. I once was a heathen, but no more. The enemy had me at once, but no more. I got transformed, and then God started to form something inside of me and increase, and now I have the influence to share it with other people. I have the answer that they're seeking, and they don't even know they need it yet. That's influence, church, right? That's the evidence of a genuine encounter with heaven. Church, darkness doesn't need louder Christians. It needs transformed influence. That is you and I. So here's the question as we're going to wrap things up. Here's the question I have for you. What becomes visible when you enter the room? What do people see when they encounter you? Do they see Christ or frustration? Do they see peace or tension? Humility or pride? Do they see faith or fear? Do they see life or heaviness? What do they see? What's the letter that you are delivering when you enter the room that says, I represent somebody? What is that letter that you carry with you that Paul talks about? What is the epistle? Now, if you know the scripture, Paul wrote many epistles, letters, 2/3. The New Testament written by him, and many of that is epistle or letter. What's your letter? What is your influence on their life? I'm going to ask our church today to commit to a divine influence in your environment. I'm going to ask us to rally around this altar in an attitude of commitment. That when you leave here today, that you're going to do it different. Pastor, I think I do it pretty good. You could do better. See, as soon as we start saying, I do good enough, you're not doing good enough. Pride starts showing up. That's not humility, that's pride. That's saying, I'm already there. You're not there. I'm not there. There's nobody on our staff that's there. We are still committed for the increase of our Crosspoint church family. Why? So you are blessed internally, and then you have influence externally. Church, stand with me. I'm going to ask you to make your way down to the platform. I want the homes in our church to feel the influence of your life. I want your relationships to feel the influence of your life. I want the conversations that you have to feel the influence, and I want it to be reflective through their lives. I want those environments changed, because when we come down to an altar in the local church and commit ourselves to have a divine presence of influence upon other people, the world gets changed. Let us start in Crosspoint Church as we sing gratitude to heaven. We have influence today, church. Let's sing together.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song you never do.
you're standing at the altar today, and even if you're not, there's an assignment in our lives. The assignment that the Apostle Paul talks about is you're going to have influence. How are you going to do it? Who are the people? Where are they at? What are you going to do? I'm going to pray over each and every one of us before we leave today that you will remain committed to what you promised heaven today. You came to the altar. You said, I commit to have influence, divine presence through my life outwardly because of everything that God did inside of me, how he formed me. I'm going to go now and influence other people. The cards outside in our foyer that says invite somebody to church, they should be empty when I leave today. I'm usually the last to leave. Packs of them should be taken. The invites should go out. The influence should show up. You should walk into the room and they wouldn't even know what you're going to say, but your influence is impactful. I know her. She's a Jesus follower. I know him. He's sold out for the kingdom. I don't know about that guy. I don't know about that lady. But I tell you what, there's something happening in that life that I see that I don't have. That's influence. Commit to that. A life well lived, Paul talks about. That's influence. Doesn't mean you don't stumble. Doesn't mean that you don't fall. Doesn't mean that you don't have challenges. Doesn't mean that you don't struggle. It just means you know what the source is when you do. That's all. We're imperfect people serving a perfect Savior in an imperfect world. The Bible says we're the salt and the light of the world. That's influence. Be that. No matter what they tell you, just be that. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray the Crosspoint Church people take influence, the presence of your Spirit seriously. Lord, I pray that they walk out of the church today, that they go into a business meeting, their presence of their influence walks with them. Lord God, when they leave today, they maintain the commitment that they made to heaven this morning, that commitment is to be having that influence be influential. Lord God, let us not hold on to it. Don't let us walk into a room and not show the influence of the divine increase that's in our lives. That's peace, humility, growth, grace. All those things, Lord, that people see us as we walk in and know the letter that we're carrying before we open up our mouths. Lord God, your people have committed today, not only in the house, but many online. Those that are watching right now the broadcast, the thousands that pull information from us and watch us later, Lord God, the devotion that they will read this week that we'll put out, Lord God, let them have influence in their life and move with it, I pray. Let us take it serious today, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Church, look at the screen behind me. It should be there. I want you to recite something with me. It goes like this. I commit that my divine increase will tell a story of my divine influence to help people to live a better way and a better life. Give heaven some praise today, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is your commitment that you made today. And next week, church, we are going to teach you on Pentecost Sunday the power that multiplies your influence or your increase. That's next week, along with Baptism Sunday. Wow, what a powerful day we're going to have in the house. But before then, we're going to feed you next door. I bless you today, church. I thank you for your lives and your influence and your ministry. Let's go out singing. That's the whole reason that I sing. God bless you.
For the cross that you bore.